evening, Francis. Unite in prayer. Almighty and eternal Father, again we come into thy presence to worship you in spirit and in truth, recognizing that thou art God and shalt bring all things to ultimate achievement and victory for thy kingdom, because thou art our Father who hath given us sure covenants based upon the sure word. We are thankful that we can rest in a certain security tonight, and that is that all things will work together for good to them that love thee, to those who are called according to thy purpose. But aware also that thy Spirit will activate us to carry out the purposes which you have ordained, shall awaken thy people out of their sleep, and shall establish the bulwarks of opposition against the powers of darkness. For this cause, our Father, we join that circle of prayer that starts with thee and returns to thee through the voice of thy children, calling for the liberation of our society, for the awakening of our people, and for the overthrow of the powers of darkness. We do not pray, our Father, for peace. We pray for victory and ask for thy hand to guide us completely into those promises which we are assured you shall complete. We pray, our Father, that in this hour, as we survey these situations before us, that you shall build courage within thy people and establish within them that process of faith that causes them to take action and move in thy name and lift up thy standards. We pray thy blessing to rest upon the spiritual center of thy kingdom, thy church. We pray for the speedy elimination of all those areas within the structure of thy church that would hinder or injure it. We pray, our Father, for the elimination of the type of hierarchy from control of the spiritual center of thy kingdom that would seek to carry the people of thy kingdom in the direction of error and would cause them to follow the courses of Antichrist, which become ever increasingly popular in our day. We pray, our Father, for the lifting up of the standards of thy kingdom, that the people of this nation might again know that by this sign, that sign which you established in the fulfillment of thy atonement, we conquer the powers of darkness and shall not lower the standards of thy word or of its purposes to satisfy or to please any power or any force tonight in the world. We pray, our Father, as we meditate upon these conditions before us, that we shall recognize our relationship, even at this time, to the pattern of prophecy and to the hours of activity which are ahead. Looking forward to the complete victories which were assured us in thy word, we say thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In thy name we ask it. Amen. In the course of discussing some of the things which are before us as we deal with this subject tonight, we first want to say that we have received word that one of America's great and patriotic authors and writers passed away this week, after some 17 years of illness, and this was Conley McGinley of Common Sense. But it's no doubt that this man was in among the forefront of those that were fighting the powers of darkness and the forces of evil. It's a rather interesting thing that all of the forces of Jewry were trying to destroy this man, seeking even to introduce condemnation and attack upon him in the state of New Jersey, and they listed this man as anti-Catholic, anti-Jewish, and against all Negroes. The fact remains that Conley McGinley was a Roman Catholic. He was opposed to the whole program of the integration conspiracy and was against completely the Jewish conspiracy to overthrow the United States. But beyond that, the nefarious assault upon Conley McGinley, the persecution and the pressure which this man has withstood, was one of the outstanding examples that a man of faith could survive through this kind of crises and condition. In fact, for 17 years, he continued the publication of this magazine with illness upon him and carried his fight to unveil to the American people the real problems that confronted them. The America will recognize that in the passing of this man, we have lost one of the most courageous editors in the United States, and that he stands alongside of Gerald Smith and men like Dan Smoots and others as one of the outstanding voices in America, which did his best to awaken America throughout these last few turbulent years. One of the men who understood thoroughly the depth of the conspiracy and has made a great contribution to the forces of truth. It's a rather interesting thing that we point out to you tonight that this struggle to destroy your nation is, of course, a design upon the part of highly organized minorities in the United States, but heavily organized majority on the outside of the United States. That the forces of non-Christianity are joining tonight to seek to destroy and tear down the structure of great Christian nations, overthrow your Western civilization, and then throw the world into its darkest period of Antichrist slave administration in all time and in all history. And, of course, we have been assured in the structure of God's Word how the outcome of these events will be. It is because of this that we move with faith tonight knowing that all the powers of darkness and all the subtlety of evil cannot accomplish the destruction of God's kingdom. There are harassing times ahead, and these harassing times can be directly related to a certain pattern of violations of divine law and an overlooking of certain basic instructions which God bestowed upon your race and upon this nation. We point out to you tonight that we have never had a period in all of our history in which we have so many intent designs to destroy the great fundamental essentials of your society. The enemy knows exactly what he's doing, and he's seeking to bring about a total collapse to your society. We have never had a period in our history where the highest court in our land conspires to destroy the faith of a people. We challenge tonight that the most evil collection of association tonight in the United States are the justices of the Supreme Court, when they would ban prayer from schools and when they would ban the teaching of the Word of God from schools, but not ban atheism, agnosticism, Darwin's lying philosophy and theory, and all of the processes which destroy your faith. That in a Christian nation, when they can ban the Word of God, when they can ban prayer from schools, then, my friends, it's time you and I reorganized and rechanged and pulled down from their office every individual that would destroy our culture and our way of life. Quite an obvious thing, anyhow, that this court is not interested in the preservation of a Christian America. It's not interested in the preservation of a free America. It is more interested in the continued spread of this world anti-Christ socialist conspiracy. This very week, speaking in Athens, Chief Justice Warren was advocating and urging the lawyers of the world to create a super world court with absolute effective authority to implement its decisions and enforce it upon every nation and build it out of a structure of organized world law. The fact remains that the reason why America tonight finds the majority of its people and most of its senators repudiating the acceptance of the authority of the world court, the world law, is because world law is not American law, and it is not God's law. I point out to you tonight that every design to reject the foundations of God's law is taking place. The attempt in your society has gone so far that the powers of darkness and the forces of evil have penetrated the institutions and organizations of churches all over your nation, all over the Western world, and throughout the world. They have either mesmerized or captured or sought to secure the election and the appointment to the highest offices inside of religious authority to men who are derelict concerning thus saith the Lord, and this goes from the Pope to the head of the Presbyterian Church. Now, I recognize that there are a great number of people that may resent this, but I'm going to tell you the time has come when we have no longer any time to try to skirt with niceties the problem of what faces us tonight. We have today at the head of many religious organizations of these United States men who are no longer willing to be guided by the precepts of the Holy Scripture. They're no longer concerned about thus saith the Lord, and apparently they're willing to surrender Christian civilization for areas of muted authority within the structure of an organized world state. This was one of the fallacies that we find among a great number of religious leaders, and we charge tonight that the whole National Council of Christian Churches is a satanic abortion of Christianity, seeking to destroy both the greatness of our Christian society by subordinating this to pagan philosophies and eventually to an anti-Christ world. For they are willing tonight to become a part, strengthen, and support the creation of the type of one-world government in which outnumbered and outmaneuvered and outcontrolled by the votes of the masses of the pagans of the earth, we would become a subordinate society to pagan philosophy. And then with all the satanic subtlety which is involved in their design, they would say that this is our Christian responsibility to the love, humility, and meekness of Christ's request. And there's not one thing that Christ ever said that asked you to join the pagans or to be associated with them or to become a part of their society. In fact, one of the most militant directives that you will find inside the Scripture comes from Christ, who not only discriminates, but discriminates even in the selection of those to whom he ministers. I point out to you that in the course of the program of this hour, the design which seems to be carried into all facets finds its support coming from those that will reject the Word of God. You know, we have a lot of ecclesiastical leaders today who say the Bible's outmoded and it isn't keeping pace with our time. They're saying that we're going to have to modify the whole area of our opinions, that we're going to have to take a new and much more liberal view of all other religions and all other peoples, and we're not going to have peace. Well, the first place, my friends, is only one way to get peace. not by accepting error, not by surrendering or appeasing your opposition. The only way to get lasting peace is by victory, not, my friends, by joining. Now, anytime you can think that 1/6 of the world's population can join all the rest of the world and then bring out a great emerging Christian civilization, I tell you that this cannot take place. But when we deal with the processes of our time, I can tell you tonight that 1/6 of the world's population can conquer 5/6 of the world with a tremendous victory in the hours that it's endangered by their total conspiracy and emerge with a structure of society that can never be destroyed. We have never been faced with problems of the type that we have now. They all go back to a ignoring of certain most important instructions. There is no doubt in my mind that one of the apostles more hated than all the others was the apostle John. The reason why they hated the apostle John is first because John was very close to the heart of God as he walked the earth as one of the closest disciples of the Most High. In those days, as John drew from Jesus every pattern of thought, and every capacity which he had within him reached out for knowledge and understanding until he was the one selected by Christ on the Isle of Patmos to receive the mighty pattern of revelation which was to unveil a whole course of history and to bring in the background the origins of events and carry them to the successful conclusions which I assure you tonight Most High God will carry out. I have not one questioning position in my mind concerning God's achievement. I have not one questioning a point in my thinking concerning whether God can carry it out. I do not believe that all the powers of darkness and all the forces of evil can carry out their objectives against God's kingdom tonight. I don't believe the Negroes can stop, destroy, or block the white race. I don't believe the communists can take over the world. I don't believe the new frontier is going to be able to destroy America either. I know it's trying to do it very, very hard. It may not think it is, because its kind of America is the kind Satan would rejoice in. But they're not going to accomplish it. I point out to you that we have been told long ago about certain things that we should avoid. One of those things was brought out by John the Apostle when he wrote to the very heart of Christian civilization and all of the nations of the white race. He spoke to the elder and to the elect lady, to the real house of Israel, the elect lady and her children. And the elect lady, of course, was Israel, elect according to the foreknowledge of God from before the foundation of the world, the race that propagates the mighty sons of the Most High, the multitude of his society which were to grow up in the earth to inherit his kingdom. And in this instance, one of the weakest points that we have in our society is a strange type of supposed humanism. This strange philosophy is that we must treat everything that comes along with tenderness. We must envelop it inside of our society. We must seek, therefore, by absorbing it to make it better. In fact, if there's any document in all the face of time that was ever engraved or placed upon any point of significance in history that I repudiate the whole pattern of prose that's on the base of the Statue of Liberty. Because when they sent that over here to us, there was a hook in it. It told us to send us all the scum, the criminals, the riffraff of the world, and we'll absorb them. I'm going to tell you that a Christian society does not want to absorb the scum and the criminals. We want to eject them for a higher way of life. Now, this has been embraced and, of course, embellished on a whole lot by a lot of excited evangelists that thought if they could get more scum over here, they'd have more to save. But they don't do a very good job at saving the riffraff of this type. I tell you that the Scriptures carefully warned us concerning our responsibility in protecting our posterity, in creating the conditions of environment in relationship to God's law, and to carry out the objectives which He has ordained. The resulting situation is that when we violate or become derelict in our duty, we are not, my friends, rejecting the pattern of society alone. We are rejecting God and His purposes. We have cited to you in the past that in the days of Samuel, he thought that he was being rejected when he said, "Behold, the people want a king like other nations." He said, "Don't worry, Samuel, it's not you that they've rejected. They've rejected me, but they're going to be sorry for it. When they get through paying the taxes and the supporting the course of the king, his levy against their men, his confiscation of their property, they're going to know that this is what they asked for." Well, I want you to know, too, that it's not so much a rejection of the identity of God, it's a rejection of His laws, His commandments, and His intelligent direction to your society for its best interest in the maintenance of its standards. You cannot, my friends, be taken in by the propaganda of the world order, follow out its objectives, and arrive at the successful conclusions of God's kingdom unless God overpowers, overthrows all these forces, whether you would or not, and does it for you. I tell you tonight that if your nation, and when your nation, follows the patterns of divine law, when we, in the days of our founding fathers, made the paramount issue respect and worship of the Most High God, and when we inculcated this into our school systems, and in those days our school systems were largely private school systems, and I tell you tonight, I believe America would be better off if we threw the state completely out of the entire educational program and returned to education on a private level, and if people wanted enough to invest in it, then let them have it, and if they don't, my friends, maybe you're a lot better off. I heard one person the other day say how much more it would cost us if we had to pay for education. Well, if you would start to go down through your tax bills and find out how much you pay for education through the state, you'll find out it would cost you a lot less to educate your own children without having to pay for a lot of things that are unassimilatable and unabsorbable and are destructive, that you could have done a much cheaper job and a far better job if you'd had private education. I point out to you tonight that the instructions of the Word of God were quite clear, and at no time will you ever let any outside of your race and your faith have the instruction of your children. I point out that in this great nation of yours, which is a part of God's house, at no time were you to permit the coming into this society for purposes of settling here and for purposes of influencing you, those that were not of your race and not of your faith. Someone said, of course, this is not American. This is, my friends, according to the Word of God, which your founding fathers based their society on. And I want you to know that when the Congress of these United States faced some of these problems, the reason why they put immigration laws into effect was so they could discriminate in rejecting an unassimilatable mass of people that would change the course and the nature of this nation. And I still believe that those clauses of discrimination that marked the beginning of immigration were one of the most effective and most important areas of protecting your Christian society. And I tell you tonight that I am perfectly in accord by any necessary process of ejecting every non-anti-Christian force from these United States, and I would not halt, my friends, at a complete deportation if it required an amendment or a decree. No, the time's coming when Christians can start thinking a little bit about decrees anyhow. The President of the United States has, by decree, stepped into whole areas that affect your way of life. Again, we bring back to your attention the listings of executive orders which have been made by the President of the United States, which have been registered in the Federal Register of almost absolute authority. And under these orders, which start with 10995, the power to take over communications, and 10997, to take over all electric power, gas, fuels, and minerals, Executive Order 10998, to take over all food resources and farm equipment, Executive Order 10999, take over all modes of transportation and highways and seaports, Executive Order 11,000, mobilization of civilians into workforces under government order. And then that's for servitude. Then Executive Order 11,001, government takeover of health, education, and welfare. And then Executive Order 11,002, Postmaster General to operate national registration of all persons. Executive Order 11,003, government takeover of all airports and craft. Executive Order 11,004, housing finance authorities to relocate communities, to control all housing, designate areas where they are to dwell, and then Executive Order 11,005, take over railroads, inland waterways, and storage. Executive Order 10051 designates responsibility of emergency planning, authorization to put all executive orders into effect in the time of any increased internal tension, economic or financial crisis. In other words, then, we go down one more step. We've discussed some of these areas before, but this is refaced as a serious circumstance. The section, part one, section 101D, state directors to perform additional functions as the president by, from time to time, creates and directs. All of these are not authority passed into his hand by Congress. These are edicts by a dictator who has to run to Rome to get his instructions. I point out to you tonight that free Christian America must recognize there's something serious going on. I think it's time that every intelligent Christian in these United States woke up. There's something wrong when the whole structure of your society, protected by the Constitution, can be set aside by executive orders and decrees, and if your congressmen were on their feet, if your senators were on your feet, and if you, the people, were on your feet, you wouldn't let them sleep until they got on their feet, and we tore this power out of the hands of the executive. What I'm pointing out to you tonight is built rather strongly on this faith. Here we have a situation right now in which this power being directed against you is in the hands of a man who not only goes along with appeasement of Mr. Khrushchev, is seeking to force a reconciliation between the Western world and communism, is seeking to force the integration of your society and the breaking down of all the divinely ordained barriers in your nation against intermingling, mongrelization, and all of the things which the powers of darkness desire. It was bad enough that one of the things that has been done by religious leaders in this country is to go along with it and call for a complete setting aside of all religious bias. Well, it depends on how they analyze the word bias. If it means that I am opposed to the mixing of the white race with Negroes because I don't want to see the downgrading of that society, if that's bias, then this is a good thing. If, my friends, it means that we want to preserve our racial self-respect and outnumbered though we are, we design to see the kingdom of God continue and the people that carry forward the spiritual vision maintain this capacity without mutation, which makes it impossible for them to minister, then this, my friends, if that's bias, then we better retain it. Now, we point out to you tonight that as denomination after denomination slipped, that after the World Ecumenical Conference, that the Pope that recently passed away, Pope John, he not only called for a continued support towards a softening of policies between the East and the West, he called for the strengthening of a one-world government, which era was no greater than the era of the Methodist Church, the Baptist Church, the Presbyterian Church, the Adventist, and a whole group of forces which today have taken over in their hierarchies inside of Christianity to carry out the work of actual paganism. I point out to you that the election of this last pope, who represents the most powerful single churchman in the world, and he has recently met with the President of the United States, who wasn't too wise to make this quick trek to Rome. And there in Rome, as I hold in my hand a copy out of the newspaper of the statement and the picture of the president kissing the papal ring, and here's what I discover. I discover that the Pope praised Kennedy and said that he might, for his stand against all racial bias, and asked him to carry out and implement his program for complete integration and thus bring about peace between all peoples and all races, and that they are all brothers and all are the children of God and all must be brought together. And now this man will come home with a more fanatical deviltry than ever before with the approval of his church. He's told to go ahead with the blessings of Rome, even if it makes him unpopular. And I'm going to tell you something, it's making him unpopular. Someone said, is this because this is another church in opposition? No. I would be as quick to praise this Pope if he told Kennedy to go on home and keep the white race white and let the black race be black, but don't surrender the administration of his nation to inferior society. And I would as quickly turn on men like Carlson Blake, who this week went to jail, as he should have, down in Alabama for joining in demonstrations with Negroes, and he's the chief clerk of the Presbyterian Church in the United States. I point out that all of this follows a very strange policy. I turn here in this second epistle of John, and he said that there are many deceivers in the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is the embodiment of God, he's come in the flesh. Every force that denies and fights this is a deceiver and an antichrist. I want to say that as an organization, that the National Council of Churches of Christ in America did not deny the deity of Christ. So you got an antichrist organization portraying as a church. Now, while I am very, very definitely opposed to all the political error which the Pope has been involved in, so far the Pope has not yet denied the deity of Christ and still stands head and shoulders above the National Council that has. But I'm going to say that all of these men are going the way of the Antichrist. They're all traveling the same road, And it has never been a challenge as great as tonight for Christians to come out of every institution that embraces the cause of darkness and stand together for the formation of a great living church with a divine testimony. Now listen. The Apostle John said, you better look to yourselves. It's time that each one analyze himself, that we see, lose not those things that we have built, the things that we have developed on these foundations God's given us, and don't lose the reward of the creative, constructive work which God Almighty has ordained. He said, the one thing that we better discover is whosoever transgresses and abides not the doctrine of Christ hath not God. You can't be a Buddhist and have God. You can't be a Hindu and have God. I'm going to tell you, you can't be a Jew and have the right God, because you're worshiping the devil by their declaration that they worship the God we call the devil and that Christ is the devil in their theology. And I think the best thing we could do would be to remove from all areas of influence every Jew in these United States. Therefore, he that abideth not the doctrine of Christ hath neither the Father or the Son, hath no concept of God or his embodiment. If there come any into your nation, into your house, into any area where you have jurisdiction. Now, this is the Apostle John. This is the one that was closest to the heart of Christ. This is the one was accused by the Jews of being their greatest enemy because he reflected more closely the things that Jesus taught. This is the one that they had a defamation of an eyebrow wants to write his gospel all over again or else blot it out of your Christian Bible. So therefore, we are reading now one of the important letters that he wrote to your civilization, to its culture, to its churches, and to its race. And this is what he said, if there come any that do not have this doctrine of Christ and do not recognize the identity of Jesus as the eternal Yahshua, then he said, I want you to know that you're not to let them come into your nation. Don't you bring them into your house as guests. Don't take them inside of your society and bring them into your assemblies and then think, well, we're going to convert them. If they don't have this doctrine, if they come against you without accepting these principles, you keep them out. You know, your nation was directed to discriminate by divine law, and it was understood by your founding fathers, it was understood by the original creators of the immigration law, that we were to keep out non-Christian peoples and to keep out the bulk of pagan society to preserve our spiritual culture. We've got a bunch of insane ignoramuses today who try to tell us that we have to keep our prayer and the Word of God in order to preserve our national integrity and to keep a separation of church and state. I think it's about time we welded together church and state. When I say that, I mean it's time that in these United States, since there's nothing in the Constitution, there is nothing in the Bill of Rights, there's absolutely nothing in any state or official document of these United States to separate the Christian faith and the United States government. And more intelligent justices understood this matter. And it has been openly stated time after time that America is a Christian nation. Now I tell you tonight that when the scripture says that if you let any come into your house, if you permit any into the areas of your dwelling, if you permit them to come inside of your society, and they come in and they do not have the doctrine of truth and they're not identified with these purposes of God, and you bring them in, you're not to bring them in and give them God's speed. Anytime you say, God bless you, anyhow, you don't have to agree with me, but God bless you, all the curses descend on your head, the scripture says. God wants you to wake up and stop running around blessing his enemies. How many silly preachers, you know, are blessing every pagan and bowing before every shrine by saying they're all roads to God? They're not roads to God. Over 5/6 of the world's routes go to the worship of Satan. If that were not so, we wouldn't have to send your race in anyhow to lift up the standards of God's kingdom. Tonight we call not for surrender, but militancy. Listen. Therefore, he that bids God's speed to God's enemies and lets them into his country or his home is partaker of all the evil deeds and is co-responsible for all the trouble that descends upon his brethren. I wouldn't want to carry what the presidents of the United States have carried for the last four administrations on their conscience. I surely wouldn't want to be responsible for what Mrs. Roosevelt has started. I just point out to you that he that serves this cause in complete and absolute repudiation of all of the community relations committees and of all of the brotherhoods of Christians and Jews and all the fellowship of reconciliation and all of the program of the interfaith world movement. It's all satanic. Now I point out to you that your greatness came when you had the courage to be Christian and when you had the courage to follow out the responsibilities of Thus Saith the Lord. Today, what we're faced with, basically, is discrimination against God on the part of government. When your government discriminates against God and says we cannot have the Word of God, but we can have the work of atheists. When it says that we cannot have respect and prayer to God in a nation who has this as a part of its history since the days of the Declaration of Independence to our time, then, my friends, it is against God that this action is being taken. They are more friendly to Karl Marx in the state of California than they are to God. You may receive instruction and be taught in Das Kapital the Karl Marxist philosophy, and not even in a retrograde or an antagonistic manner. You can go to Stanford University and you can be taught Marxism as a fine, developing social way of life. But you can't be taught anything constructive concerning Christianity, the scriptures. It's not constitutional. Let me tell you, my friends, that this court and these men are not going either by the Constitution of these United States or of our state. They are following a course of directories that have been spawned by the very imps of hell themselves. This is a Jewish conspiracy, and I point out to you tonight that the Jews are boasting in their periodicals and magazines, of which I have many in file, that they brought about this decision, supplied the attorneys for this atheist case in which they threw out the Bible from all the homes in America because one mother had raised an atheist in her family and she supported his atheist theories, and this little atheist was upset because he heard prayer. I'm going to tell you that an atheist which doesn't believe in anything shouldn't be upset by anything he hears. Anyone foolish enough to be an atheist hasn't brains enough to get upset about anything. You want to know what it's all about? It's that organized jewelry hunted around for an atheist and found one. And now they're going to finance this mother, by the way, out in Kansas to set up an atheistic school on a section of land. I suppose this will be probably subsidized by some branch of the government because it's perfectly legal to teach men that there's no religion, but it's against the law to teach them there is one. Now, some people are a little disturbed. They say, well, this is taking on everybody. Well, it's about time we took on all our enemies. Because we have too many people that are blind on one side or another concerning what is actually the great menace in these United States. The enemy is not blind. The enemy knows where his problems lie. He knows how to carry out his objectives. I point out to you tonight, and I have the evidence here, that all over the United States, Negroes being armed with Jewish money and standing together awaiting for an assault against Christian society. In fact, I support now that the government of these United States, being led by the Kennedys, has been supporting violations of divine law and violations of your constitutional rights by seeking to create issues and legislations that would intervene with your personal liberty, your rights of privacy, and your God-given directions. That it is as unconstitutional as any possible condition would be to say that you have to absorb in your own private affairs people of other races and other faiths. I point out that if this can be done, you have the world dictatorship ruling in the United States. I say if the powers that Mr. Kennedy has put on the Federal Register were implemented and carried out, he would be as solid a dictator as Mr. Khrushchev. And the sad thing is, too many people wouldn't recognize it until it was too late. I point out then that the design is rather interesting. Inside of New York City last week, there met some powerful figures. I have a full report here. A mystery group of wealthy men moved to bolster the Negro leadership of the United States for them to carry successfully by mass agitation and by mass pressure their great plan, so that the nation would surrender and succumb to this design before the resistance of the right wing increased and it was fought with a bloody revolution. And so I want you to know something here tonight. I'm reading this out of the New York newspaper. It tells you exactly what transpired. And I discover here that this group, this mystery group, You remember when Kenneth DeCourcy was talking about four sects? He talked about the powers of world political organizations, organized with great evil and great immorality, and filled to overflowing with Jewish power and leadership, and headed by enigmatic figure that the world does not know, who fulfills the potential of Antichrist. And in this instance, we read that he said the powers that are controlling the forces and setting the motion with great economic power are enigma that would be disturbing if many people knew the facts. Now, out of the New York newspaper, multimillionaire New Yorker is a part of the Great Committee plan. Key members of white and Negro communities fearful that the Negro push for racial equality would lead to widespread insurrection and violence, or accelerating a behind-the-scenes effort to so strengthen Negro leadership and so expand with such multiple numbers their resistance and their demands for equality that the country will surrender before it gets in a bloody revolution. So let me point this out to you tonight. The influential group, Mr. Currier, assembled an impressive group. Who's Mr. Currier? Mr. Currier is a young, obscure New York multimillionaire whose Taconic Foundation has heartily contributed to the civil rights causes and notably to forces of intervention in the election voter registration drives of the South. Mr. Currier assembled an impressive group, representative of the Ford Foundation and the Rockefeller Foundations. Among 90 guests were Mrs. Max Ashcoil, wife of the editor of the Reporter magazine and a benefactor of assorted causes. Mrs. Marshall Fields, this is the communist Marshall Fields of Chicago, and a lawyer of the Chicago publisher who used to write and publish PM and has influenced a whole group of left-wing red rags. Lloyd Gaddison, lawyer, one-time chairman of the Franklin Delano Roosevelt program and of the National Relations Labor Board. Frederick Warburg, who is the partner and major influence in Kuhn Loben Company, investment banker, advisor to all the urban leagues, and organizer of Negro rights groups. You know how much he put in? They put in $850,000 in the hands of four niggers to gather an army of 17 million, if they could, out of 19 million Negroes. All but the babies, they want to march in such impact and mass that America will surrender through sheer fear rather than wake up and resist. The Jew story here and the Negro revolution is that if they continue the way they're going and don't do it with such intense impact, that America is frightened, the result is going to be that the right wing is going to increase, the white resistance is going to rise, and they're going to roll this thing to a standstill, and when the Negroes get violent, they'll shoot down the Negroes in the streets, there'll be a war, there'll be bloodshed, and the white man's going to win. And then the big financiers and the financiers that supported this thing are going to get hurt. So now the Jews and the niggers are threatening the financiers of the big Jews that backed the play and said, now if you don't kick through enough money for us to get the whole army on the move, if we fail, the right wing's going to get you. You know why that is? Because here's the record right here. It was these various Jewish leaders and financiers that put up the money to start it to begin with. And if they don't put up enough to win, they're going to get the penalty for losing this war. You know who the best swordsman in all time in history is? Who will flick a wicked blade that will liquidate every last one of the powers of darkness. Well, let me tell you, if they miss this first wave, when the right wing wakes up, it should liquidate every single anti-Christian person that sowed bloodshed that cost human lives. These people that have financed and created this program of Antichrist and actually paid for and helped to set against Christian society this force of revolution and this rampaging force should pay the price of their evil. We know that Mr. Kennedy would have praised Mr. Warburg for his part and others. He would not have anything to do with it. But I'll tell you what Christ will do. He'll flick their heads off and the blood will flow to the horse's bit. You forget that this hour of history is going to finally be settled by the armies of heaven rejoining you with Christ at the leadership. When he says, thrust in the sickle, and we'll really rape these grapes of wrath. They'll find out what grapes of wrath really are, They have no partner lot with Mr. Steinbeck's communist propaganda. Well, let me tell you this. Never in all human history has tension reached the point that it reaches tonight. In this article, which tells about how this group got together and they rolled up the $850,000 for the first investment to put in the hands of four Negro agitators, and one of those that were leading in the agitation was none other, of course, than this left-wing liberal Baldwin. And this Negro who threatened the extermination of the whole white race with his Muslim masses and the resulting necessity for even added money right now. Now, you know, these Negroes are getting clever. They're blackmailing their Jewish supporters to kick through more and more fast unless they get caught in the backlog of it. Did you ever hear of a Jew on a Negro rack before? Why are you in trouble? Because you turn from thus saith the Lord to discriminate against God. God out of the schools, Negroes in. Never have we had a condition that has been as fraught with trouble and catastrophe as this. From Illinois comes the report of angry Negroes attacking a white woman and then eating and chewing on her until she was all chewed all over her body and she died. This one ought to be buried in the Arlington Cemetery, too. If we're going to bury everybody that's supposedly a veteran, let's bury the white people that are a veteran in this struggle and will become the victims of this evil conspiracy. Someone said our great responsibility is to sow love. Well, the first place to start loving is love God. Love His law, love His people. And if you love the people of God today, you're going to stand up and defend them. The significance of this strategy, and it becomes increasingly obvious, is rolling ahead to try to swell up one of the greatest demonstrations in all time in history and to drive by fear the people of God into completely repudiating, thus saith the Lord. You go out and get a Look magazine for this week. There's two articles in it. One of these articles is on the right-wing design. And it says the right wing is trying to capture the Republican Party. And it says that also among the leading influences of it are the extreme right wing and the Birch Society. But even these groups are trying to get Barry Goldwater as their leader so as to keep out of their influence the conservatives that are anti-Semitic or else force the right wing to accept a half Jew. And when you get this in Look magazine, I think it should be plain enough for an intelligent person to see. They compute if you get a half Jew in there and make the conservatives follow a half Jew, that the Jew will have secured at least an elimination from the conservative right-wing movement of opposition to Jewry. Though, as I can point out by these articles and by their articles, all your trouble tonight comes from Jewry, and the Negroes are but pawns in their game. Again, this last week, Fulton Lewis Jr. wrote an article on the 5th of July in which he quotes everybody else and gives more reasons why you shouldn't have Barry Goldwater than I've seen anywhere else in print. I'll tell you one good reason why. We do not want to repudiate God and choose one of His enemies or even half of one. I never saw a half of one before, but we find that there's one running around. In his article in the Los Angeles Times last week, Barry Goldwater wants to see implementation of increased civil rights legislation. Well, one of the most serious and dangerous and reprehensible of all discriminations is against the Jews. He said discrimination against the Jews is still throughout America not dead. It's reprehensible and it exists here. And therefore, if we're going to knock out discrimination, he says, I'm for complete integration. After all, remember, he belongs to the NAACP. Remember, he helped finance integration in the schools of Arizona. He wants to stiffen the integration laws. He wants to pass civil rights legislation to carry this out. And I point out here that even the unions would be the target of Mr. Goldwater for complete integration of all branches of their staff and their activities. Significantly, in this same matter, I point out to you that never have we had anything more evident than this. The design, therefore, in this Look magazine is to attack all the right wing. They jump on Gerald Smith. They jump on patriots from one end of the country to the other. They jump on the right wing entirely. But they say one fortunate thing about the right wing that's trying to capture the Republican Party in California and these birchers is that all these in leadership want to support a Jew. This is Look magazine. Now, I want to... increasingly obvious is rolling ahead to try to swell up one of the greatest demonstrations in all time in history and to drive by fear the people of God into completely repudiating thus saith the Lord. You go out and get a Look magazine for this week. There's two articles in it. One of these articles is on the right-wing design. And it says the right wing is trying to capture the Republican Party. And it says that also among the leading influences of it are the extreme right wing and the Birch Society. But even these groups are trying to get Barry Goldwater as their leader so as to keep out of their influence the conservatives that are anti-Semitic or else force the right wing to accept a half Jew. And when you get this in Look magazine, I think it should be plain enough for an intelligent person to see. They compute if you get a half Jew in there and make the conservatives follow a half Jew, that the Jew will have secured at least an elimination from the conservative right-wing movement of opposition to Jewry. Though, as I can point out by these articles and by their articles, all your trouble tonight comes from Jewry, and the Negroes are but pawns in their game. Again, this last week, Fulton Lewis Jr. wrote an article on the 5th of July in which he quotes everybody else and gives more reasons why you shouldn't have Barry Goldwater than I've seen anywhere else in print. I'll tell you one good reason why. We do not want to repudiate God and choose one of his enemies or even half of one. I never saw a half of one before, but we find that there's one running around. In his article in the Los Angeles Times last week, Barry Goldwater wants to see implementation of increased civil rights legislation. For one of the most serious and dangerous and reprehensible of all discriminations is against the Jews. He said discrimination against the Jews is still throughout America not dead. It's reprehensible and it exists here. And therefore, if we're going to knock out discrimination, he says, I'm for complete integration. After all, remember, he belongs to the NAACP. Remember, he helped finance integration in the schools of Arizona. He wants to stiffen the integration laws. He wants to pass civil rights legislation to carry this out. And I point out here that even the unions would be the target of Mr. Goldwater for complete integration of all branches of their staff and their activities. Significantly, in this same matter, I point out to you that never have we had anything more evident than this. The design, therefore, in this Look magazine is to attack all the right wing. They jump on Gerald Smith. They jump on patriots from one end of the country to the other. They jump on the right wing entirely. But they say one fortunate thing about the right wing that's trying to capture the Republican Party in California and these birchers is that all these in leadership want to support a Jew. This is Look magazine. Now, I want to get this across tonight because I have thousands of friends among John Birchers, some of the Jew influence inside that society notwithstanding, and I tell you every time you're betrayed, you're going to be sold out by a Jew. And when the John Birch Society throws out all the non-Christians, they're going to become one of the most powerful influences in the United States. I think it rather significant that in this same instance that there are several other things which we would point out. That at this very moment, inside of the strategies of the enemy, they are planning on one of the biggest mass demonstrations in your history. They're bringing into the United States from every part and branch and area of the society of the Muslim movement, special shock troops to the West Coast. They've been coming in from Arizona, they've been coming in from Texas, they've been coming in from the South, and carloads of Negroes are arriving, and the appeal has been over the radio, maybe you've listened to it, for the reinforcements for the massive demonstrations they're going to put over on the West Coast. So what does it mean? It means they're getting ready for added trouble. Inside of the article on the right wing is an article then on the Negroes, this week's Look magazine. And it tells about the terrible bloodshed and the Holocaust and the things which were ahead. It talks about the designs and the absolute essentialness for parody. But this article is written, of course, by a man who betrayed the South, Mr. Ashmore, who sold out the newspaper that was one of the conservative papers at one time in Little Rock, Arkansas. And he's out here in Santa Barbara where his anti-God's law of venom goes out all the time. Harry Ashmore not only betrayed his Southern compatriots, but he sold his newspaper into integrationist hands. He carries out a program of complete integration and absorption and virtually threatens and tells our Christian society that we're done, that our national life has got to be reorganized and we are going to have to accept and the order of things as they are, and there's no sense of the South or anybody else resisting. He says the South ready to lay down and quit. They found the price of segregation means violence and trouble. They find it so costly in finance that they're about to lay down and quit. I think it's a rather significant thing that I point out to you that I don't believe the South's about to lay down and quit. I think Harry Ashmore will quit before the South quits. I'm going to turn for one moment to the intelligence report of Kenneth de Courcy from England. Well, this international report contains a lot of very vital information. It's talked about this Fourth X, which is actually the World Communist Antichrist program. And they said that they have absolute evidence that SWIHP, which is the Fourth X, this international organization, has created the violence and subversion and has created the racist strife in America. And it's not spontaneous, and it wasn't natural. It was a planned conspiratorial development to create race warfare and then to throw the whites off balance to destroy their control in the United States. Now listen. They have outlined now, this is the new issue, the July issue of the Intelligence Digest. You want to know who they're about to attack? He said their subversive organizations are going to now attack the Dan Smoot report out of Dallas, and your own voice of truth that emanates from here, your tape and radio programs. They're going to move against the DAR, National Economic Council, and the National Indignation Committee, Dallas. Well, come on. You know, it's a strange thing that you have to get news out of the enemy's impending attack from England, isn't it? You have to go to England to find out what the devil's about to do here because you don't have a newspaper with enough courage to print it. Because when you get through with it, you find that the Jews are behind it. And in order to carry out a warfare against Southern resistance to integration and against the right wing, one of the largest powerful New York banks is curtailing credit on all businessmen in Georgia as a test case who oppose integration or their will, and we are informed that it is working very well in that it is immunizing the strength and effect of these businessmen by cutting off all their credit connections with their business. And Dan Smoot has had more direct information as to what they should do than a lot. He suggests that also, he says, this New York bank director, who is largely whose bank is directed by a man who is ahead of the Mau Maus and took part of Mau Mau ceremonies in Kenya Colony. In other words, a turncoat who was in league with Negro witchcraft, with the most powerful, influential bank in New York behind him. Now, so Dan Smoot says, I think that all Georgia businessmen should take a census of all anti-integrationists whose credit has been restricted. They should ascertain the names of all the banks concerned. They could investigate who controls these banks and look on its board of directors
for one of its people that was down in Kenya during the Mau Mau disturbances, because even the wife of this man is ready to disclose his identity with the Mau Maus and this Negro revolution against the white man. You may dislike segregation, or you may approve of integration, but you must deny that it is a good thing for this kind of power to be in the hands of a bank tied in with the Mau Maus.
Of course, you will discover that this banking gentleman in New York is also one of the strongest supporters for a sellout to Russia, and says Russia's evolving and so must we. This is a strictly new frontier and also Council of Foreign Relations position. Someone says, suppose they try economic warfare on us. All right, my friends, when you start war, then let it be war. It's time for the kingdom of God to recognize the laws of God, and if they think that they're going to discriminate against God, then let's put God's laws in and show who's stronger in these United States. Let's get a United States bank with a United States money system based on constitutional economic law. Let's put a dollar in circulation for every dollar's worth of goods there is to buy. Let's pull the whole financial rug out from under every Jewish banker in the United States. Now that they're worried because the right wing is over half of the country, then it's time for us to make clear in every message, in every communication, in your letters, in every organization, that it is time for us to slap down a 100% economic boycott against all the enemies of our faith and race. Anytime these Jews think they can pull an economic squeeze on business so it can't operate, let me tell you, if people just dry up their mercantile establishments and stop buying their goods, they're suddenly going to discover that it is a costly thing to be cut off in a white Christian nation. It's time that we raise great banners, buy Christian, trade Christian, vote Christian, think Christian. God said, it's turned against me. Now, if you will turn again unto me and accept my laws and my commandments and do all the things I've commanded you, then I will pour out upon you such a blessing as you cannot contain. I'll fill your barns, I'll remove your oppressors, I'll lift off your taxers, and I'll send your aliens out. God said, behold, I have a war against the strangers that dwell in my land, these aliens and pagans that don't belong in my country. I'm glad God has a war. Say, this is unfair to aliens. Well, it's unfair to the kingdom. We didn't come down here to join into a coexistence peace treaty with the devil. Our race has been working for 7,400 years. We didn't come down here to surrender the world. We came down to occupy it. We're going to. There are a lot of people today who are going to awaken one of these days to the fact that what they thought was the way of righteousness was the way of right, of wrong and evil. For God said there's a way that seemeth right unto these people, and the end thereof is death. You know that the route the Pope is taking will nullify the strength that would protect him, and the Vatican will be sacked by communists because he opened the back door. I tell you that unless the white race remains strong, unless its resistance against communism remains militant, that communism is going to sweep southern Europe, and out of Albania will come the sacrums of the Vatican. The white Lombards of Italy will pay the biggest price because they're not really very great warriors. In fact, none of Italy is very great warriors tonight. And at every instance, they have never successfully carried on in late times a successful defense. I'm going to tell you that honeycombed invaded, that'll be almost impossible for Italy to survive communist assaults or for the Vatican to survive it unless it stimulates Christian resistance, not seeks to break it down to the communist system. Bob Constantine, in his article this week, said that an important personage from Rome, interviewed about the selection of the Pope, said, well, this man's almost a communist, if not one. He totally agrees with the Marxist socialist philosophies and has been advocating long a soft position towards communism while resenting their interference with the church itself in the dangers to Minzenti and others. But has long said that the church should order Minzenti to come home and not permit him to remain a martyr in the areas of Hungary. Why should this Pope have been against letting Minzenti have that security that he had in the American embassy? Why should he order him to take a dangerous trek home when the communists wanted to destroy him were waiting for this chance? I point out to you tonight, these are turbulent hours. And God has made a declaration that we cannot fail to recognize. He's told us not only to come out from among them, but he's told us to retain the control of our society, and then told us that we were not to permit them to gain influence inside of our house, be it political, economic, social, or religious. We are to maintain the control of our own house and not permit any to deny his deity, the identity of his purpose or his program, the responsible positions of influence, or even to occupy or dwell within this house and carry out their nefarious action against the kingdom. Now we point out again that the scripture clearly advocates that these influences of Antichrist, when they come into power, will seek to use the power of the state to make an area of discriminatory decree an oppressive sanction against the church. One of those fantastic speeches that Mr. Kiko had made a short time ago, he directed his warlike assault against patriots and Christians everywhere. Then, my friends, we go a little farther, and now the junior senator from the state of California, Mr. Engel, has come out with another scathing attack. This time he warns the country and calls for a request for action to pass legislation and to move in and investigate and take away the tax exemption status of every educational and religious organization which today is supporting the cause of the right wing by its positions and its advocacy. Then Mr. Engel says that you can be for the left, but you can't be for the right and retain your tax exemption status. Senator Engel says in this same attitude of assault, and this is just yesterday that this goes into print, and today's newspapers this morning carry the story. Senator Engel said that the support of these churches and tax-exempt organizations are moving into the right to the mountain states. Holy as the right leaders are taking over mountain states in order to help capture areas of senatorial influence, and the design, they said, is to capture an election. He said, just think, churches and right-wing organizations trying to capture an election. Well, it's all right for all the influences of the Ford Foundation, the Carnegie Foundation, all these Jew foundations to finance and influence the overthrow of your government and the acceptance of a world socialist program. But if the church speaks out in anything that affects its life, then he wants to suppress that church. I hope that every Christian in California decides to suppress Senator Engel. Now, every once in a while, I run into some sophisticated know-it-all who thinks that he's going to point out a lot of good points and values in the United Nations and then says, well, it's already existent, you can't do anything about it, and so forth. Now, I want to point out to you, as of this week, the United States of America is a party to one of the strangest enigmas of history. You're not only a participant as a member in the United Nations on the United Nations Plaza has erected a 12-story religious building to influence and direct the influence of religion in implementing its program and for directing attitudes of organized resistance against any area of religion that disagrees with the United Nations position. And so here out of the Herald Express is the article on a United Nations building, and the main floor is going to be in the control of the National Council of Christian Churches, which has long sought to suppress everything that didn't agree with it. You see what the Bible means when it talks about Mystery Babylon with its political, religious, and economic designs, false religion moves along with false politics and with false economic processes. I tell you that all the trouble that Christianity has was spawned by Jewry, supported by those that have sold out to it,
and which tonight are directing a dangerous design. But I want to show you what they've done. Mr. Engel, notwithstanding, don't you try to step on the Christian church in these United States when it calls on Christians to use their influence to get America out of the United Nations. Don't you raise your finger against Christians when they attack the program of Antichrist, because when the United Nations can get into religion and be supported by tax money from the United States government confiscated out of your pockets, then we, the American citizen, in and out of church, can attack this thing that they're taking our money to support. By the permission of this ecclesiastical order inside the United Nations, which has banned prayer and recognition of God, until now it designs to control religion, though it is carrying out the process that helps to ban it out of your schools. I tell you that I know a lot of clergy and a lot of Christians that are going to resist this thing till they have America white hot flame. And I'm going to tell you that if our representatives and legislature does not take us out of the United Nations, that it's not going to be long before the Spirit of God will set America into such a flame that they pull it down glass brick by glass brick. The Bible talks about a great white robed company, talks about a great throng, talks about the armies of the Most High God, talks about the armies of God joining us. If we're going to watch black pagan Muslims march in America, if we're going to watch Negroes trying to overthrow our Christian America, if we're going to watch pagan troops march in these United States from the United Nations, then I tell you it's time Christians rose and marched in America from one end of America to the other. These pagan powers can demonstrate then the reserved, the cultured, the fine, the intelligent, the Christian, the creators, the taxpayers can also march. I want you to know that we're hearing from all over America and they're agreeing with you tonight. And if everybody who hears this tape in the next 10 days were in this auditorium, or in the Coliseum, because you couldn't get in the Coliseum, the people would hear this tape in the next 10 weeks. If you had five sessions a day in the Coliseum for the next 3 days, you couldn't get the people in that will hear this tape in the next week. And if you could get their reaction as their mail and their reaction shows, you'd discover the majority of them have cracked, and they ought to look around and throw out the ones that don't. Now, don't all look at one another now. In fact, we're not gunning for anybody in here tonight. You know, sometimes we know where the devil's seated. This is a strange thing. He comes here all the time. They come one, come in two, and they're writing, they're taking down reports, they're running to the ADL, or they're dumping it back into Kennedy's lap. Sometimes you get a super sophisticated opposition that thinks it has a right-hand control on everything, and it's also reporting in 10 directions. So we're not gunning for anybody tonight. There isn't anybody here big enough on the enemy side to put up enough opposition to pick up a wave. But sometimes the people that are apathetic are as dangerous as the enemy. Because the enemy awakens you, and the apathetic person sneaks on. Now I again call your attention to these words. He tells us to put on the whole armor of God, that in this dreadful day of struggle that we might be able to stand. For you're not just battling against flesh and blood, you're battling against powers and principalities. You're battling against spiritual wickedness and high circles and high influence. You're battling to save Christian America as a great nation of God's kingdom. I'm going to tell you, as we said this afternoon, God's about to so charge your society with spiritual force, so quicken it to its responsibility, that it moves with great power. And in such an hour, God will lift up the standard, and the reaction will be unprecedented. You say, well, this is fanaticism. No, this is spiritual zeal rekindled as the wrath rises up in your countenance and you swear before your Father there's not going to be a Canaanite left in the house of God.
fact, if I was a Canaanite, I'd be booking passage for Israel right now. And if I understood the Bible, I'd keep on going. Because what's going to happen down there one of these days is one of the greatest judgments of all time. I point out to you tonight that you're on the edge of the restoration of the Elijah ministry in the house of God. In fact, we're going to talk on that subject next week, the Elijah ministry, because you have approached a most vital hour. I think it's time for you to call your representatives, your legislators. I think it's time that you notified them on the local and on the national level that while we're talking about abolition against of discrimination, that you want this nation to stop discriminating against your God, that you're a Christian, you're a part of a majority, and it's the majority that elect men. That since God's been constitutional, since the days our nation was formed up until now, we've decided to throw out the men that don't like it as unconstitutional and keep God. Those words that Elijah gave, and we'll have more to say about it, choose ye this day whom ye will serve. If Yahweh be God, serve him. If Baal, Babylonianism, and Jewry be God, serve him. But if the Lord be God, off with their heads. I point out to you to this tonight that there is a mighty call in the Scripture for a great revival. For there is going to be a famine in the land. Not a famine of bread, not a famine of meat, but a famine of the hearing of the Word of God. This, the Scripture warns us, is a dangerous famine. And therefore, God says, I'm going to pour out my Spirit upon my sons and my daughters. I'm going to reactivate the end of this age with greater power than I started the church age. And as I move upon them and I challenge them and I stir them, I'm going to raise up an evangelist inside of the nations. I'm going to raise evangelists inside of the countries. I'm going to challenge my people. And their activity is going to be moved to a white-hot fervor for God. He said, this is what's going to happen. Now, a lot of people think that means great big tent revivals with Billy Grahams and Branhams and Allens and all these fellas running down trying to get all the Negroes into the tent. But that's not what it's about. Now, I'm not against these fellas because they're ignorant. I'm just pointing out this isn't God's revival. God's revival is to awaken you for the thing he sent you here for. Most everybody these fellows are saving are Christians. Did you know that? These fellows are going all around with their big tents trying to save Christians and then pour the Negroes in and destroy their daughters. They're gone down into Africa and they're telling us how these people are falling under power and speaking in tongues. And one Adventist doctor that was down there told me the other day, these fellows were cursing Christ, cursing God, cursing the evangelists, and going away with the 10-cent store trinkets they gave them for getting saved. And he talked two or three languages, Swahili, Bantu, and several others. I'm not against evangelists. We're not against what they think they're doing. We just know that they don't know what it's all about. They're putting America into sleep, and God's calling for America to wake up. Now I'm going to tell you, you put those fellows on one side and put thus saith the Lord on the other side and let America hear, and I know what will happen. Would to God we could get just 10 minutes alongside of JFK on the radio and let him have the first 10. I tell you that if the great truth of God, the program of God's kingdom, could be given equally, side by side, along with the president and his grand frontier, his blueprint for the world and God's, and then America was given the chance to choose, you know what would happen? They'd never get anybody back again. '63. You may hear before you move into the next year, it's the year that fire came down out of heaven. We'll have more to say about that next week. You are living in one of the great
challenging hours, God calling for men, tall men, sun-crowned men, not my friends weaklings and appeasers, calling for people, calling for his household. And I tell you tonight that it's your Christian responsibility, the love of God recognizes and accepts the finished work of the atonement. God hasn't failed. He has not failed to keep one single promise. Everything on schedule, he's brought to pass. The only area now of inactivity lies in the children of God following out their instructions. God said, I'm going to pour such a spirit of uneasiness. You know, the evangelist is to call this conviction. Well, I'll tell you what it is. It's going to be a kind of conviction that moves on people for what they didn't do, and they're going to start doing what God demands. He can just make them so miserable that they do. Right now, the devil is giving a guilt complex to people set free. Think that over. He's coming out to try to make you feel it's your responsibility, your Christian duty, your American duty, to sell out God, sell out your nation, and join the devil. When I listen to preachers get up behind the desk, speaking over radio or television or in the pulpit, and directing people to pray and support the United Nations, to work for integration, to work for one world, one race, one faith. I know what the Bible meant when Jesus said, they get up and say, Lord, 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 and I say, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, I never knew you. Now in this instance, we call on each and every one of you to remember this, that your Constitution was to protect you, that the rights of the majority and of the great mass of Christian Americans are important, and more important because there's more of them than any process of misinterpretation could be to grant unto these people an invasion of your privacy and your rights. Senator Dirksen, the last few weeks has grown several inches taller when he left the pressure of President Kennedy to say that he felt that it was un-American and unconstitutional to try to legislate the invasion of any private property or the control of homes or of businesses or industry or anything that belongs to people from doing as they want on their own property, with their own property and with the things that belong to them. If this power can now invade by any process these rights, then our Constitution's gone, we don't have anything. And if we're in that kind of dangerous time, we did something. Yes, we need a revival. We need a revival of spiritually guided intelligence that takes a stand for God. We don't want a people all emotionally torn up with an upheaval that do nothing. We want a people so stirred in their emotion that they start moving as a mighty solid rock. And I'm going to tell you that this living stone fitly framed together that grow into this holy temple unto God cannot be destroyed. And all that move against this rock shall be broken upon it. All that fall beneath it shall be ground to powder. This is what the scripture says about the rock of the kingdom of which you were a part. And you will note that George Washington knew about this too, and had Christ the chief cornerstone of it when he placed it on your national seal. So let us remember that this is a day of challenge. The design is discrimination against God. The design is to move you away from your faith and from your heritage, destroy your race by absorbing it in its capacities, limiting it, breaking up its power, taking away from you your freedoms, removing you to the vassal control of a world controlled by a satanic antichrist power, as Mr. De Courcy says. And Mr. De Courcy recognizes this tonight. I want you to realize this tonight, that what you are doing with your tape programs across America, what you're doing with your voice reaching out over radio, and it's going to get to more than ever because you're expanding it tonight. And what you have been able to set in motion has not only attracted the attention of the enemy, but the enemy's plotting and planning all the way to Europe on how to stop it, because these tapes are going to Europe. They're playing in England. They're playing in Germany. They're playing in Scandinavia. I tell you this tonight. This truth cannot be stopped by human instrumentality. It can be expanded by contribution, but it cannot be stopped by the devil himself. I also point out to you that when they attack Dan Smoots or the DARs, when they plan on an all-out design of their subversive designs to try to crush and break these up, then these areas are effective. And they have selected what they feel is their opposition's most deadly area of proposition. And that is, you're getting knowledge and truth out to people, and people are responding to it. That's the only thing they worry about. So we tell you tonight that this is your chance to
Bind the darkness. This is your chance to bear testimony to truth. We'll be holding the regular Wednesday night Bible study in Lancaster this week on time and schedule. We'll be speaking Tuesday night, however, in the country club at Columbia and Orange in their auditorium in Riverside. We'll be Wednesday night in Lancaster at the Bible study group there, which people are coming from all over the Southland. And then we'll be on Thursday night to San Diego. We'll be back here on Friday night as we cover the world events from the relationship of biblical prophecy. Now, we're speaking next Sunday afternoon on a very important subject. We're pointing out on why it is better to have obedience than sacrifice. This is very important for people to understand. It brings the practicability of God's law and His commands down to you. And this is significant today in this hour of strange reaction and world upheaval. Why it is better to have obedience to God than sacrifice. Next Sunday evening, we're speaking on the historic re-arrival of the Elijah ministry. This is our subject for next Sunday evening. If you want to see what the power of God is about to do in straightening out political forces by strength, power, and challenge, you come out as we show you the biblical prophecy and the relationship of the periods of Elijah and now, and the sweeping victories that God's assured Christianity in this nation and every nation of His kingdom. And so we tell you that the fire is about to descend. You come out as we discuss this in one of the great years of judgment and history. Before very long, you're going to see a whole lot of other things happen. You're going to see movement in the earth. You're going to see upheaval. You're going to see the effect of the hand of God making the earth start to fight for you. So do not forget that we are living in important hours, and it's important that you bear witness to the truth. We need your tithes and your offerings to affect the advancement of this program. Over 35,000 of your tapes in circulation and equally as many in circulation by areas that are reproducing with your permission. This is in circulation now. This isn't just counting those that have come back, because every tape that's come back, except for the current ones this week, is out in circulation again, plus new ones. So you see, tape never stops. It keeps going and rolling on and on. And as principal foundation tapes roll in, 100 new groups starting out need these tapes to carry them on and to expand their knowledge, as thus saith the Lord. Someone can come out and say they don't agree with it. Someone come out and say, this is not acceptable unto us. But these are not the people that are listening to tapes. All any opposition you have comes from somebody that isn't even here. Somebody that doesn't know. Somebody that's just against because they're not a part and they don't understand. All we ask is let's get a chance to get the word to people and see what happens. Let God separate those that He can use. And then let me tell you this. Everybody's afraid. Send them home. Gideon sent them home. And we've got more to work with than he did. And when we're going to emerge with a much bigger army than Gideon had, because this is a new day. And we've now advanced to we're 1/6 the world's population. You know, I'd rather take the militant strength of that 1/6 and have all the rest of the world put together because of the power that they have vested in them. We're not intimidated. We're just a little bit irked sometimes by sleepy, intimidated, fearful people in an hour when God wants to demonstrate His power. So we challenge each one of you to help fill this auditorium and every auditorium where this message is going out. Help send out tapes, help reach people with truth, keep the message on the air, keep it in the tape circles moving, and help us to reach people with us, saith the Lord. If this message is too strong, then you point out what part of it disagrees with what God has to say, because apparently we haven't had enough strong messages in America, you wouldn't be in trouble tonight. So let's gather people, let's support, let's carry out the standards of God. Almighty and eternal Father, we invoke Thy blessing to rest upon this congregation. Bless this offering. Multiply it to the purpose of carrying forward the gospel of Thy kingdom, the work of Thy church, and the proclamation of Thy deity. In Thy name we ask it. Amen.
Shall we sit?
We urge you to tell it. Bring others back. Let's fill these plates. Let's keep tapes moving. Let's keep the whiskers going. You know, even as it was in the time of Paul, down in one southern state, one minister has been in jail 5 times in the last 28 days, and he's been held sometimes 72 hours and then released because there wasn't anything they could do, and there wasn't anything wrong he had done except proclaim, thus saith the Lord. So you see, they can, where the Jews have power, they can deliver you from the synagogue to the magistrates. It's time, my friends, that we realize we're not paying any great price, but let's see how many people we can get out in contact with truth. One of these days, if they keep this thing up, we'll go down and liberate this kind of preacher, just as the enemy is trying to overthrow the status of law and order. Shall we stand in this moment and bow our heads in this moment of asking God's guidance, strength, and protection upon those that are proclaiming truth in these southern states where, strangely enough, the enemy is so hard at work. Almighty and eternal Father, invoke thy blessing to rest upon those that carry forward thy message. That are lifted up thy standard, we bind the darkness, we call for the opening of prison doors as in the days of Peter and John. We call for the demonstration of mighty power, and we pray that thy protection will rest upon these clergymen who now stand for truth to find themselves oppressed by people of fear who are seeking to do the bidding of the powers of darkness. We pray also at this hour that the unction of thy Holy Spirit will rest upon thy people in benediction. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.